make it, do it. Make sense, honor, better, faster, stronger.
Campbell on second down and 5.5. Looks right. Comes back to the left. Going long for Gordon. He's out there. And he caught the ball at the 20, at the 15, 10, 5. Touchdown!
Well, unbelievable catch. Unbelievable throw.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily. Driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Takes the snap. Dalton back. Looking near side. Throws it. Picked off. And an open run. It's Joe Hayden. And he's in. Touchdown.
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagura.
What's up, everybody? Happy Tuesday. Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci with you on Cleveland Browns Daily. Driven by Liberty Ford, and the day today's OTA open, of course, to the media, so we can get into some good detail about today's practice, and at least in the early going, I'm getting reports trickling in now that the quarterbacks have started to light it up in the third team session, but the first two team sessions and the 7-on-7s at Torrey, it was a day for the defense as they were playing very tough, intercepting quite a few balls, looking good. It was a team, again, the defense continues with the focus on the defensive backfield, covering. They are sticking to people, not a lot of separation, the pass rush getting to the quarterbacks. And I thought it was, again, another good day for the defense, although I am happy to report that in the third team session, it sounds like some nice throws from Johnny Football, some nice throws from Brian Hoyer as well.
Well, if you're going to complete a pass against this defense, you're going to have a nice throw, because that's about all it took. I think as you and I were watching, the best pass play ended up in a red zone drill where Brian Hoyer threw a ball to a double-covered Jordan Cameron, who made a nice athletic move to kind of pull the ball down and pull the ball in with the defender sticking to him. As you pointed out, they have been, the separation has been virtually nil through many of these practices. This isn't just a today thing. I think the coverage has excelled throughout. That is the clear emphasis of this Mike Pettine scheme. It's defined by defensive backs who create, who eliminate separation or keep it to a minimum, and then create a pass rush. Sticky coverage equals strong rush, and I think that's the confidence, that's the sense that Mike Pettine, when he looks at this football team, when he looks at this defense, is seeing exactly what the plan as it's mapped out is supposed to be. That's really where this starts.
Because when you have that kind of coverage and you're around the intended targets, when you get a little pressure and a throw's just a little bit offline in the NFL, that leads to turnovers. And I'll tell you what, this secondary thus far has proven to be very good ball hawks, and if they get their hands on the ball, they've been coming away with the interceptions, which is important.
And what's really cool, too, I like this little added step. It's not inventing the wheel, and maybe we've seen it from time to time, but I've never seen this emphasized more, and that is, whether it's a running play or a pass play, the offensive player has the ball in his hand and obviously takes it several yards upfield right after the initial levels, level one or two, and he's continuing on. Defenders have to give chase, and defenders are also trying to punch the ball out, and it happens. I mean, it creates that awareness level, and sometimes the running back or the receiver will be asleep at the switch with the ball in his hands, and boom, ball pops out. And that is something that, for sure, Jim O'Neill, as a defensive coordinator, I'm sure Pettine, the whole group of coaches here, emphasizes with those defenders.
Yeah, and it's good to see. It helps the offense protect the ball. Also, the plays are never over. If the defense somehow knocks that ball loose, they pick it up and they take it all the way back to the house, treat everything like a potential return situation. So that was certainly good to see. Hopefully later today, we are going to take Mike Pettine's post-practice press conference live here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We should get some updates on Joel Bitonio. Looked like he may have tweaked an ankle out there today. Right. Doesn't look or sound appear to be serious in any way. Justin Gilbert was watching practice today. We'll get updates on that, hopefully from the head coach as well. But all in all, this is a team that, as we said, is going to be built on toughness. It's going to be built on defense. It's going to be built on the ability to run the football. Those things all at the forefront of today's practice. And it was a tough day for both Johnny Football and Brian Hoyer at the quarterback position, at least in the early going.
Yeah.
They had some tough times. Johnny threw his first interceptions of the OTAs in 11-on-11 drills. He had gone through the first six without a single one, and he threw two of them. Both pick sixes, one to Dante Whitner, one to Joe Hayden today. Yeah. It was, again, a very good day for the defense. I just saw, actually, as I was walking into the studio, Jordan Poyer, a guy that I have liked a lot, who continues to make plays, picked off a pass now for the third straight day in these OTAs, the 11-on-11. Innerst making a great break on a ball, reading Brian Hoyer before Hoyer delivered the football, cutting in front of an open receiver for an interception there. So the defense, these backs, they're definitely taking to what's happening, and they're getting help from the guys up front.
You know, I'm not going to make sweeping conclusions on what this all means. It's fair to say the defense is ahead of the offense, but you can say that kind of routinely when you talk about OTA practices. The reactionary part of this tends to be ahead, especially when you're not dealing with an offense that has an established quarterback or much veteran help throughout, where people aren't have great chemistry established. There's zero chemistry really established between the quarterbacks and their receivers because, yeah, Brian Hoyer knows a little bit about, certainly Jordan Cameron knows a little bit about Gary Barnage, and he's been part of this and observed this more than any of the other quarterbacks. But generally speaking, the act of throwing passes still to Andrew Hawkins and others is a new thing. And the fact that Miles Austin is not on the field yet, the fact that you don't have Nate Burleson out there, two of the more established guys that you could bring in the receiving core, is a huge difference. Yes, Josh Gordon is out there, and he continues to do his Josh Gordon thing in terms of catching passes, but you even see some misfires and miscommunications there where you don't really aren't sure if it's the route was wrong or the quarterback threw it to the wrong place.
No, right. And that's, you know, it's to be expected. And today it goes with ebbs and flows, though. Today was a day that the defense can certainly say we got the better of you. They like to woof on the defensive side of the ball. Jim O'Neill, the defensive coordinator, likes to be vocal and get into it with the offense. So it is good to see. And today was a nice showcase for that defense today. Also, the offense, though, got it going a little bit later, and apparently Twitter is saying it, and I got a text from one of the front office members here from the team that there was a big-time throw from Johnny Manziel to Jordan Cameron just now at the end of the third 11-on-11 session, yes. About a 45-yarder rolling one way, thrown across the field. So
I guess Jordan made a heck of a catch on that, too.
Jordan Cameron has been a superstar, flat-out superstar. When you want to go and you want to go into camp and you want to say, what does a Pro Bowl pass-catching stud tight end look like? He looks like Jordan Cameron, who I think has been the offensive MVP of these OTAs. We'll get into some little middle of the kind of first stage of the offseason awards tomorrow on the show. But I think Jordan Cameron continues to be very, very impressive.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. He has looked the consistent best of everyone, and I mean all positions offensively. It's really hard to point to anyone on offense besides him, and yeah, you could say Gordon does what Gordon does, but I'm talking about specific to these workouts and say who makes me feel really good about the state of the offense going into the season. And Cameron is it, hands down. Yep, Terrence West has done some things. You've seen some nice O-line play by Joel Bitonio, and again, hopefully that ankle tweak isn't too serious an injury, because when you pull him out of there, I think the drop-off is significant when you go to Paul McQuiston, who's more of a stiffer athlete at guard. So just making those observations. But all in all, the offense is a huge work in progress. The philosophical change that's happening to more of a run-oriented attack, to everything kind of being built off of play action passing, and that's why we're seeing a lot of those plays that pass plays emanate from that. Head coach Mike Pettine is now at the podium after practice.
Hey Mike, you know, there's another incident with Josh over last weekend. Did you talk to him about it? Is there any kind of team discipline you do?
Yeah, I mean that's a club issue right now, so we're not going to make any comments on his current situation.
Is it troubling?
I just think anytime there's issues off the field, regardless of the player, I mean it can be, especially if it's a pattern.
I would like you to tell us about Aaron Berry.
He's a great competitor. And that's one of the reasons he's here, is that I was fortunate to be around him in New York. And when he's healthy, I think he can be a guy that really fits our style of play. He's very confident. He'll get up. He'll get in your face. He'll cover you, and he'll tell you about it.
Should bring a little bit of a mean streak, too.
He's a passionate guy. He loves football. And, again, it comes back to the competition thing. When we look for guys and we want to create something that we wanted to create, we felt that's one area – that we wanted to improve the competition in was the secondary room, and I think that that as a whole, we've done a nice job doing that this offseason.
The last time we were here, Gilbert left the field and it wasn't on today. Has he been able to practice since last
year? Yeah, and we currently don't have any injuries that are going to cause anybody to miss the start of training camp. So, but we have some guys with some minor things.
And Mike, as far as Josh is concerned, as we all await clarity on his situation, has he been engaged football-wise to your satisfaction?
Very much so. Very much so. He's comes out, works hard in practice, puts in a day's work, solid in the classroom. When he's in the building, he's been solid.
Do you see this weighing on him at all?
That's probably a better question for him, but I can't imagine that it wouldn't. I mean, it would be human nature.
Is your organization going to stick by him once this is finally?
Well, it's that your key statement there is once this is final. As I'll be consistent in what I've said, and until we hear from the league that we're going to be business as usual. At this point, there is nothing to act on.
When do you expect some clarity? Any 10 minutes, 5 months, any?
Yes. we don't know. So that's part of it, and I think everybody can sense the frustration. But it's a difficult thing. But until it happens, we have a plan in place for all eventualities, but we're just like everybody else, still in a holding pattern.
Mike, do you think that as a team, as an organization, do you have a really good support system in place to handle players that might have certain issues?
I think that we do. That's one of the things that I've been impressed with in being here so far. That I think the hiring of Jamil Northcutt, I think, was very much under the radar and very, very important. I think he brings an outstanding background and his ability to relate to the players and be able to really reach all of them. And I just think not only him, but Joe Sheehan in the training room, and I just think the guys around the support staff, I think, has a really good pulse of this team I think it's something that I have a real good feeling about it. People have asked about that and the sense in the locker room, and it's for the most part, it's been very positive.
Do you think the league does enough to help players? I know they've been much more proactive in recent years in terms of all the stuff.
I do. I think there's a lot of help available. I think that the mandated programs for rookies are very important. I've sat in some of those meetings. It's very impressive, but there has to be a willingness on the other side. Sometimes guys get the message that it's too late, and it's in my time in the league, there's always going to be a handful of guys that just don't get it. But I think the league's done more than enough to get the word out, and I think the better clubs are the ones that are very proactive instead of reactive, and I think that's the situation that we have here.
At the beginning of OTAs, you said by the mini camp,
That's a meeting we're gonna have either Friday or Monday with Joe. Being cautious, I would say if I had to make the decision today, I'd lean towards just keeping it the way we've been doing it, and being in what we've called Spartan mode, where it's the D-line plays run, takes a couple steps and stops, just to kind of keep bodies from being around them. I just think from a risk reward standpoint, it just still doesn't make a lot of sense to expose him at this point.
I'm sorry, Mike. How do you think he's looked in terms of moving, just the whole thing?
I think he's looked pretty good. I think he's shown the ability to make all the throws. He's just, as all the quarterbacks are, I think, just settling into the new offense, the terminology, the reads. You saw a bunch of throws today where it wasn't just him, but the receivers weren't on the same page with the quarterbacks and vice versa. And that's just growing pains. That's going to come over time anytime you're installing a new offense.
The last three plays Manziel had here, the long one across the field and then the two when he rolled out and kind of made some. Is that a little bit of a taste of Johnny football?
It is. And it's difficult when he's got the red shirt on and the defensive guys know they can't tackle him. And it's hard to get glimpses of that, and that's truly what you get. But we've done some things, as you probably saw, some designed rollouts with him, and he's shown when he can get in the open field that he can run through an angle and he can eat up some ground pretty quickly.
Did you notice anything specific? I think I counted three interceptions that he threw. Just bad reads or miscommunication?
Yeah, I don't know until I watch a tape and get with the offensive coaches. I'm not sure. I know at least one of them was a result of the wrong route, and I know one of them was a result of a misread. So.
At this time of year, would you prefer, and through camp, would you prefer that if they're really super aggressive and taking shots, to be how far they can go, or would you rather not see all those kids?
No, I'd rather them test their limits. I'd rather learn the lesson today, when essentially it's it doesn't count. You know, learn those lessons that, hey, listen, I think I can fit it in that window. Oops, I can. Rather now than September.
What have you thought of Bennett?
What's that? Bennett. Bennett's been solid. He's been solid. He came in. He was in pretty good shape, so we were able to throw him in right away. And he's a true professional. Runs good routes. Has solid hands. Kind of goes unnoticed. I don't know if he's going to make a super splashy play, but then all of a sudden you'll probably look at the stat sheet at the end of the day and realize he's had a pretty good day for you.
Notice anything different between the two quarterbacks from where you were last time we talked to you?
Not really. I just think they're in the normal progression of learning it. Just kind of, it's still, I think some of the terminology is a little bit bulky for all of them. Just kind of, I think Brian's ahead with that just because he's had more experience doing it. But it's just a matter of, I mean, some of those play calls are a mouthful, and that's something that all the guys that are truly new to it have to adapt to.
How much do you remember from last year when you were with Buffalo about having a game plan for Jordan Cameron, what he does?
Definitely had to game plan for him, especially in the red zone, and he's a guy that he can be covered, but he's not covered. I mean, a good quarterback can essentially throw him open. And I think that's one of the advantages of having a guy that has that kind of length and that kind of ball skills. But he's certainly someone that I'm sure opposing defenses are going to have to account for.
Mike, is Hawkins a guy who's flashed?
Yeah, Hawkins, absolutely. He's been one of our most consistent guys through the spring as well. Comes out here as one of the hardest workers. Doesn't know any speed other than full speed. And he's a guy that is truly trying to get better every day that he takes the field. And I think that's a great example for our younger guys.
Will Aaron Berry be ready for training?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, he took some individual reps today. So he's been cleared. He was cleared. We brought him in for workout. He went and was cleared by his doctor, which we signed him after that. And now he'll be good to go for training camp. He'll probably end up taking some reps next week.
Regarding Gordon,
when did Miles start practicing, and what have you seen from him?
He just took some individual work today. Today was the first day. So it wasn't much, just small sample size. Wanted to get him out there with the drill work, just actually running the routes. He's been doing some of that stuff on his own off to the side with Paul Ricci, just working back into shape. And it wasn't any specific injury that he was rehabbing from. It was just a matter of getting him, just easing him back into football shape.
Regarding Gordon, you talked about what he's been like here. We see how he practices, yet he puts himself in troubling positions given his status and with the league. Is it hard to get your hands around that contradiction?
No. I mean, I just that's the situation that he's in. I mean, it's not the first guy in the league to be like that. We're a guy that's when he's in the building, he's great, and has some issues for whatever reason due to his circumstances when he's out of the building. So it's certainly I'm not a stranger to situations like that, and I don't think the rest of the staff is either.
Going back to the play that Johnny made, the one where he rolled right through back left and made the completion. Seems like on the next play and the next play after that, guys just seem to gravitate toward him. As he makes those sorts of Johnny football plays, do you sense that happening where guys will start to gravitate toward him?
Yeah, I think that happens, and I think that goes back to just what we talk about when we're looking for in a quarterback. If you said draw me a quarterback, I don't think you would draw him. You know, shorter guy with big feet and big hands. I mean, that's I don't think that would be the first thing to go down on the paper. But when they have that factor, the it factor to them, where when they it's just a sense, it's momentum where guys feel it and like it gravitates the good word, a good word for it, and we've seen the same thing here with Brian as well.
It's time for a couple more guys.
The first thing I asked was, the hell coverage were we in? I thought O'Neal was meshing with the defensive playbook, putting the nose tackle at free safety. So I think he just sensed the play coming because we'd been burned on it a couple times in practice. So he just latched on him and started running. So it was that was actually pretty funny.
Mike, what made you guys try Marquise Gray at fullback, and how's he done so far?
He just started, so it's really he's truly a work in progress. But there's some good examples around the league. The guy down at Miami, Clay, I think is a good example. Just from a defensive standpoint, when you look at it, when you have a guy that can be a fullback, that can also be a tight end, that you can also extend him from the formation, that really causes problems defensively, kind of knowing, okay, usually if a true fullback's in the game, okay, we're going to get two-back runs, two-back passes, essentially. But true tight ends in the game, then you know it really compartmentalizes your calls because you have a pretty good feel for what you're going to get. But when you have a guy that's that versatile, it really forces defenses to either to kind of double or triple call what they're in or water down what they're doing to really kind of be a catch-all. And I think that's something that we're going to look at doing. We'll still be in the mode of deciding are we going to have a true fullback or are we going to use a tight end to be that second fullback? And we're still very much early on in that process, but part of that process was putting him there. It's kind of throwing him in there and see what he can do.
You see some interesting skills with him?
Yeah, he's a guy that I think in the zone scheme, you don't have to be that downhill thumper fullback where it's blocked down, go through, lead up on the linebacker, where you're more getting on guys and getting on edges and running your feet. So the style of blocking is very similar to what he's doing as a tight end anyway. So I think it's a much easier transition for him here.
We've got time for one more question, Mary Kate.
Coach, what did you see of Aaron Berry in New York in 2012 that led you to believe that he had put some of those off the field issues behind him and was trying to be a good guy?
There was no issues with him when I was there. I mean, he was a guy that showed up to work every day with a smile, was great in the meeting room. Competed his rear end off on the practice field, and he was a guy that we were aware of the pass, but that we felt it was a risk worth taking, and that he can help us.
Great. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Hey, Mike.
That was Coach Pettine addressing the media after today's OTA session, the last of these OTAs, which will be open to the media before the team embarks on its mandatory mini camp next week here in Cleveland. Good comments there, I thought, from the head coach, and we'll start, obviously, with the quarterback play. You know, Vic, interesting stuff in terms of, you know, the struggles they have getting acclimated, the defense having a good day, and then also some interesting comments about Johnny Football, and we'll get to all of that when we return here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.